Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Luke 8. The gospel according to Luke chapter 8. I read verse 50 as text verse for the sermon. Luke 8 verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." The theme for the sermon is fear not, believe only. 3 points. The first point, the need of faith. The second point, the sleep of death. And the third point, the power of Christ. So the theme is fear not, believe only. 3 points, the need of faith, the sleep of death, and the power of Christ. Congregation, I like to read when I was younger, and I still do like to read. I hope you like to read too, children, because, it's good if you develop a love to read. Scripture is a book. We live in a time of many images, and it becomes harder to read, so it's good if parents teach their children to read, and I like to read. I read books about the war, Second World War. I read books about mission work. I love that too. I read the books, I remember, of John Patton, who was a missionary in those islands, the New Hebrides, and his wife was there with him, and they were so joyful when they received a child. There was a child born. What a great blessing, new life. What a hope it gave in the hearts. But it didn't take long. And then both died, the child and the mother. So John Patton, he lost his wife, and his child, his dear wife, his dear child. So with his own hands, he had to bury a grave, to dig a grave, to bury them. Can you imagine that, what that meant for him? To be there all alone, except for the natives that live there. And he writes about it. And he says in his letters, If it was not for the fellowship of Christ in my heart and life, I would have become mad because of the sorrow, or I would have died for grief there next to the grave of my wife and child. What a deep pain. How can we ever understand the ways of the Lord? They are higher than our ways, isn't it? Deeper. His footsteps are in the sea. And to follow him in an unknown way, well, we really need faith. The need of faith. That's our first thought, the need of faith. And this evening we've read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, we've read of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. And so his task was that everything would go well in the synagogue, that there would be someone to read scripture, to bring a message, all these things, that they would happen in an orderly way. So those leaders, those rulers of the synagogues, they were usually, they were men of reputation, important people, and usually also wealthy men. So here you have such a ruler, wealthy man, a man of reputation, but he is in great need. He has only one daughter, and she is dying. So he came to the Lord Jesus, like we have read this morning, in previous verses, and he is begging him, he is beseeching him, that he would come. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. So here's his need. Oh, what a deep concern and pain in the heart of this man of reputation. And he came to Christ. He did the right thing. He came in all his need to the Lord Jesus, having expectation and hope that Christ would help him. But then something happens. There is a delay. As he went, the people thronged him. And the woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, could not be healed, came behind him, touched him. And that took time, this whole situation. The Lord took time to talk to her. Oh, what about his need? Why this delay? Well, this woman, yes, she had a hard situation. But his daughter was dying. And if the Lord would wait longer, she would die. And he lost his only daughter. He couldn't even think about it. The pain, the grief that filled his heart about his situation. The fear was overwhelming, like waves in his heart. He felt like drowning in those waves of fear. Can you imagine what it meant for him that the Lord Jesus stopped and took time to talk to this woman and to hear her confession and to bring comfort to her by saying that her faith had made her whole? Oh, it took so long. How hard it was for him to wait. And you might understand that. It can be that there is in your life such a need, and such a pain, and such a fear concerning a relative, maybe a child in your family in need, in spiritual need. And it seems that the Lord is not in a hurry to help you. You have cried. You were beseeching him like this man did. And he had some hope that he would come, but now it looks like nothing is changing. Can you understand it? You have such a hard time with it. Why? The Lord is so mighty and he knows all things. Why is this situation not changing? And then he has to wait. And it's so difficult to wait. We need faith to wait for the Lord. And when I say this, I do not mean that you should delay to flee to Christ. No, that's not what we mean. When we say that faith knows to wait for the Lord. No, faith is fleeing to Christ immediately, to touch him, to fall at his feet, to confess your need, to cry out, to confess your sins, your guilt, your burden, and to pour out your whole heart to him. Don't wait. Don't wait to do that. Why would you? Why would you delay? Why would you tarry? We don't know if there's another day coming after this day. That's how serious life is. That's simply reality. We all can see that all the time surrounding us. You will delay. Well, the Savior is proclaimed to you. You would tarry. Well, it makes all the difference for eternity. It cannot be true. Why would you do that? But you say, well, it seems nothing is changing. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the Lord didn't hear your prayer. And that the Lord is not ready for your help. But he does it his way. And he does it his time, that you may experience his full power to help you in his time. Yeah, so it was so hard for your ears to wait. And there you had it. While the Lord Jesus was speaking to this woman, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." So here it is, what he was afraid for. She died. Now he received a message. Look, you see him standing there, waiting for the Lord to come. And then someone from his house comes and tells him what happened, bringing this sad message. His daughter died. His face turns pale. His shoulders lower. And oh, he seems an old and tired man now. His daughter died. He lost his dear child. And this person says, well, trouble not the master. Trouble not the master. Why would you trouble the Lord Jesus? Is there a reason to say this? Well, he finds a reason to say this. Because he thinks now it's hopeless. While she was still alive, although she was very sick, then something could change. We've seen that before. People are sick and we expect that they will not recover. And in an amazing way, they regain strength. They become healthy again. So there was some expectation. But when a person has died, then all our hope is gone, isn't it? So that's why this person says, trouble not the master. This is impossible. So what is happening here? This messenger, he's thinking about Christ in a human way. What is possible for our perception, that can be done by Christ. But to make a person who died alive, a dead person, to resurrect a dead person, who has ever seen that before? So why trouble the master? And this world is full of these voices, isn't it? Oh, well, this voice can be heard in your own heart. Trouble not the master. Do not trouble the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, do you ever hear that voice? Children, adults, we can hear that voice. It's so easily in our mind, that voice, trouble not the master. Why that voice? Why that thought in our mind? We're so inclined to listen to that voice or that thought, trouble not the master. Well, the first thing is, we want to help ourselves. We have a hard time to knock at the door of our neighbor. I cannot make it, please help me. There's something that is too hard for me. Can you help me? We will try as much as we can and wait as long as we can before we would do that. And that's the same in spiritual things. We try to solve things ourselves. That feels much better. And that is simply our natural pride. We are too proud to humble ourselves, to ask for help. Trouble not the master. It is the voice of unbelief. It is a lack of faith. This situation is too hard. My situation is too hard. Yeah, there might be grace for such and so, for him, for her. But for me, you know, I've never asked for the Lord. I lived for years and years in my own way. Is that what you have to say about your life? I ruined my life by sin. I just did what I wanted to do and followed the lust and the sinful desires of my heart. And now, would I be allowed to knock at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's no use in that. He will certainly not help me. No, I'm not going to trouble the master. Trouble not the master. Oh, I'm not going to pray. What is the use of prayer? I've never experienced a change After I prayed, is that how you think? Do you listen to this voice advising you of trouble, not the master? Maybe in your young life that you have decided not to trouble the master. You would figure out your own things. You would try to solve your own stuff, your own situation. No, I'm not going to trouble the master. And Satan loves it. If this is what you are stuck in, I am not going to trouble Christ. Oh, I cannot do this. I cannot go to him with all this evil in my heart. No, there must be a way that I can solve it. It's of no use to do it. That's how we think by nature. We're so inclined to think about Christ in a human way. If I cannot change it, then it cannot be changed at all. Now, that is the language of unbelief. That is neglecting the word of God. Scripture is full in many ways of proof that God is a God of miracles, that he does what is impossible to us. So don't listen to this voice. Trouble not the master. Oh, I'm sure that this poor father would have listened to this voice if Christ would not have stopped him. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Christ is going to speak against this voice, against this advice, trouble not the master, which is so natural to accept for our hearts. And then what a miracle when the word of Christ comes in between. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only." And tonight is a night, today is a day, and this service is a service to hear the word of Christ. So that that voice, "Trouble not the master," would not be obeyed, that Christ would come in between, and that you might hear his voice, "Fear not, believe only." Just those four words. Fear not, believe only. Everybody can understand those words, isn't it? We all know what it means to fear and not to fear. To believe and to live in unbelief. And Christ says tonight, "Fear not, believe only." Believe only? That's something in such a situation of total impossibility. Someone has died. And how can he say believe only? Oh, that feels impossible to us. Are you confronted with that? With impossibility in your life, in your family, maybe one of your children, maybe more of your children live a life in spiritual death, and now the Lord brings his word and he is telling you to bring it to him by faith. And you, what are you doing? Do you have faith in your heart? Do you have that trust that Christ is able to turn this situation, to change their hearts? And you might say, it feels so impossible. And it is. Oh, what a power of unbelief there is in our natural hearts. And what a precious gift of God it is to trust in him. It makes life so totally different. It makes our whole perspective of life and of every situation so different. If we hear his voice and may do what he says, fear not, believe only. Oh, this life is full of situations of impossibility. I find it here in my heart. If I look into my heart and see how I am in myself and what I have done against God, and then I have to say I find that in my heart, sin and guilt, and there's no way that I can be accepted by a holy and righteous God. But then I hear his voice, the voice of Christ, fear not, believe only, that Christ, that the Almighty God, has a way to overcome this impossibility in my life. And that is something that I have experienced by faith. And that God is willing and able to work in your heart. In your heart. I'm talking about you. No, not about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. God is the one who is changing lives and hearts, making sinners alive. Yeah, by nature we're dead in sin. Ephesians 2. But Paul says, ye are risen with Christ. That's simply a miracle, which we cannot understand, which we experience by faith. And that's reality. God is working that through the preaching of the word. There's a power in it to bring life to your heart, to work faith by the Spirit in your soul, that you surrender all your impossibility to the Lord, that you stop to try to solve it yourselves and to think about God in a human way, that you listen to his word and that you hear that he is doing it, this, and that he is changing the hearts of sinners by his divine power, by the power of his word and his Holy Spirit. Fear not. Believe only. Pastor, I don't know how to do it. It feels like I walk to a wall. It's totally impossible. Believe only. I cannot get my heart to embrace the truth of what I hear. That's honest that you say that. And it's very sad. So what can I do? Well, what you should do is, confess this before the Lord. That you should acknowledge how terrible, how bad this is. That you have such a heart. Such an unbelieving heart. And how offending it is to the Almighty God. So there's every reason to break here at the feet of Christ. Lord, here I am with an unbelieving heart. Yeah, but the Lord says, believe only. Yeah, but if I confess it, then still I have that unbelieving heart. Yeah. And then look away from yourself, look to the Lord. Say, Lord, thou art demanding. O Lord, I beseech thee, provide what thou art demanding. Incline my heart to the fear of thy name. Lord, I pray for that power of the Spirit so that I may surrender to this Savior, trust in him. Oh, Pastor, but wait a minute. It's something that we have to do. Yes, that's right. That's right. And at the same time, it's totally true as well that it is a most precious gift of God. And isn't that a great comfort? When you experience your impossibility, that you lay it all before the Lord, that you look to him. And I'm sure that is the place and that is the way that the Lord is working, that that amazing thing of trust. Of trust in Him. That He is lifting that burden of unbelief and impossibility. That you have broken before the Lord in your guilt. It's a horrible sin, unbelief. That you come at this, isn't that faith? That you come as a guilty sinner at the feet of Christ and look to Him. That's faith. There you have it. That's where the Lord wants you to be. And that's where He is working grace in your heart. A fear not. Oh, what a fear we have, isn't it? Fear about things that can happen. Even fear concerning God. Because of our sins. And now God says in His word that He has a way to turn that situation, to change it. That a fear will leave. And that there will be that trust in Him. And that happens in the way of repentance. That I become honest before the Lord, a helpless and hopeless sinner in myself. And find all my hope in Christ. That's faith. That is faith. That you see it in Him. And that you do not seek it anymore in yourself. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that God is working what you need? That He is Himself is working. Of course He does. So that He will receive all the glory. That you will never be able to thank Him according to His goodness and His mercy shown to Him, to you. That you will boast in Him. It's all Thy work, Lord. And that's why it will not fail. It is sure. Thy work will not fail. My work fails all the time. It's Thy work. But it has to be there. And that's why Christ says, fear not, believe only. So that you will be aware of what you need. The need of faith. Then look to the Lord. And that He will provide. So nothing is impossible to God. No, not even death is too strong, is too big for the Lord to overcome it. Our next point is the sleep of death. So when Jesus has spoken these words, then He came into the house. He suffered no man to go in. Look, there He goes, into the house of this ruler. And He's taking Peter and James and John, three of His disciples, and the father and the mother of the girl. When you come in the house, then, oh, what a noise of weeping and wailing, and as such. That's natural. That's good. That's allowed. That we have sorrow in a loss of a beloved one. The Lord Jesus was weeping at the grave of Lazarus. And all wept and bewailed her. But He said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And you see the face of the people there in the house. Big eyes, they watch Him. What? What does He say? Weep not, she is not dead, but we know for sure that she is dead. And they laughed Him to scorn. The weeping is changing in laughing. Knowing that she was dead. This is impossible. This man is speaking foolish words. That she is asleep. They laughed about it. But He put them all out. He's going to do a great miracle, and He cannot use all that noise. Sometimes, yeah, the neighbors came to weep, and even in those days, some might be hired to weep about a person that had died. But He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, look what happens. There He goes to this girl. This young girl, And he takes her hand, 12 years old. He takes her hand and he called, saying, "Maid, arise," or "girl," or you could even translate "child," "young girl," a tender word. It's the language that they use in those days. It literally says "Talita Kumi," girl, child, arise. What would happen now? And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway. Her spirit came again. So look, you see the color on her face. She's starting to breathe, and she's rising. And then he says, he commands to give her meat, to give her food. So her spirit came again, and that means she was really dead. And now she is alive. But why does the Lord Jesus say that she is asleep? Well, we do know from Scripture that that is a pretty common way to speak about the death of believers. We read it in John 11 that the Lord Jesus does the same thing when Lazarus has died. Then he also said he is asleep. Or we also read in Acts 7 when Stephen is stoned and then he's praying there and he's seeing Christ. And after he prayed, what happens? It says, then he fell asleep. We read this in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is speaking about the resurrection. He's talking about that as being asleep. Why does the Lord Jesus do that? Well, there is an important reason for this. Yes, it is allowed to have sorrow and sadness when a beloved one has passed away. It is allowed to be sad, to weep about it. But if we know Christ, if we live by faith, and we lose a beloved one who knew the Lord as well, we should not forget. We should not forget that there's another side of the picture, isn't it? Another side of the coin. When someone has passed away, has died, yes, we feel sorrow and sadness. But there's no reason to be overwhelmed. Christ is giving them the perspective, you could say, from the sight of God. For Christ, it is just sleep. He had a power to overcome death. And we know from Scripture that there will be a day that all that has fallen asleep in Christ will resurrect in glory. We should not forget that. When we have to go to the cemetery, when we have to bury a beloved one, and this person was a believer, and oh, there's also reason to have great comfort in our hearts. Because we know that this separation is not forever. There will be a day that all the graves will be opened, and those that have fallen asleep in Christ, died in Him, their body and soul will be united in a glorious way to be together with that multitude of those that are saved by the power of His blood to sing His glory and praise. Let that be in our mind and in our hearts. So for Christ, a situation of death, of this girl that died, is not harder than the situation of a person who had fallen asleep. He has the power over death, and he's going to show it. He's going to do a miracle here. And when you go to Rome and you would visit the catacombs, those vast caves, large caves under the ground, where the Christians would gather in those days of persecution, where they also would bury their dead, and then you will find inscriptions. And those inscriptions will write, such and so fell asleep or is asleep in the Lord. And it was a powerful testimony of their hope of resurrection, that death could not separate their souls from Christ. Yes, their bodies are like asleep, being separated from their soul. That would be only for a short time, till Christ will return. And then the bodies and the souls will be united again, to be forever in glory with the Lord. So Christ wants the people there gathered surrounding this girl who died. He wants them to see the situation like it is from the sight of God. To be aware that for God, death is not more than sleep. If you think about it, it can help us so much. When we have to face this last enemy, how hard it is, we probably all have that experience. That a beloved relative was taken away, a grandmother, a grandfather, a mother, maybe a child. We know the pain, isn't it? The sorrow, the sadness, an empty place. Then to hear the voice of Christ, she's asleep. This will not last forever. And do you have fear in your heart when you think about that one day we all have to die? That's a simple reality because of sin in this world. And yes, it is true. Scripture is speaking about death as the last enemy. In a certain way, it's like a shadow falling over our lives. A shadow can scare you, isn't it? But it cannot hurt you if you are in Christ. And so then to be aware of what Christ says, death is like a sleep. That's a scriptural way to speak about it. And that can help so much to be comforted by even in a situation where you have to face this reality. I think it's such a powerful testimony. When a Christian having a serious disease can be in peace with it because of being fully aware that death for him or for her is not different from falling asleep. And in a certain way, death has to serve you, child of God, to bring you in that perfect union with Christ forever. Oh, this morning we had the Lord's Supper. And the Lord has commanded, do this till I come. There will be a day that he will return in glory in this world. But isn't it true when we have to pass away from this life that he comes? So that we, that our soul will be united with the Savior. So death is a gate to that glorious situation to be with the Lord for God's children. But Pastor, would you not agree that it is even a dark thing, death? Do you not understand that I can have fear in my heart when I think about it? How will it be? Will it be in a way of pain? Will it be in a way of darkness on my soul? I understand those feelings. I understand something of it. But does the Lord not promise that He will be there? Would you think that Christ will not be there? He who went into death, He who died willingly, He will be there. And He will keep you, child of God, secure. When you have to pass Jordan of death, Christ will be at your side. You will not drown. You will not sink. But you will be secure. He has the power over death. That's why He can speak about it as asleep. Is that not making you jealous? When you don't know Christ yet, is that not urging you to flee to Him? You need Him now here in this life. You need Him more than ever when you have to pass away from this life. And tonight He speaks to you. Why would you not flee to Him? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 351, stanza 1 and 2. 351, stanza 1. To Thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O Thou enthroned above the skies. 351, stanza 1 and 2. Congregation, we see in this history the power of Christ. The power of Christ. Is there anything impossible to Him? He has spoken, unto me is given all power in heaven and on earth. So what is the debt? What is the situation of impossibility in your life, in your family, in your house, in society, in the church? Do you think that it is impossible for Christ to turn it, to change it totally? Did you do what this ruler did, to come to him, to beseech him? Maybe you say, but I did not see the change that I hoped for. Yeah, there was a delay, this ruler had to wait. And it felt like it was lost. Does it feel that way to you? That's how it felt on Golgotha, isn't it? A Christ was crucified. Disciples thought, it's lost now. Those two that traveled to Emmaus, they talked about it, and they told this stranger, we hoped this past time. We hoped, but that's over now. And that was the very point of the victory of Christ over Satan and death and sin and darkness. He conquered, he had victory there in his death. And he brought it to light in his resurrection. And he is the same. You think it's impossible? It seemed that everything was lost when this messenger came and told him, well, your daughter died, and don't trouble the master. But now we see at the end of this chapter that there was a divine purpose in it. Yes, there is a purpose. If God is making his children wait to show his delivering power, you cried in your need, and he has a purpose. Do you see the purpose here? And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat as a proof of this miracle. And her parents were astonished. They had an even greater proof of his divine power. If there had not been a delay, if he had come there before she died, and if she would have been recovered, healed by him, that would be a great miracle. But now, she died, he took her hand, look what happens. There she is, standing. There she is, eating. She's alive, and her parents were astonished. Yeah, so God is preparing something greater for his children in those times that he is making them wait. Abram had to wait for decades before the promise was fulfilled that a son would be born from him and Sarah. But don't you think that when it was given by the Lord that Isaac was born, it was an overwhelming thing for Abram. That God did the impossible. God loves to do the impossible. To surprise his children so that they will trust him more. Would Abram ever doubt the Lord again? He would be ready to sacrifice Isaac and to think in his heart, God is able to give him back from death. He had seen the power of God. So it has a purpose. Her parents were astonished. They had such a wonderful proof that nothing is impossible to Christ. Yes, he had expectation. He came to Christ. He begged, he beseeched him to heal his daughter. And here he is receiving something much greater. That he would trust the Lord in whatever situation. So the Lord might delay the help we cry for in our lives. But trust him that he has a purpose, that he is wise and good. Yes, there might be a situation of deep pain in our heart, like it came to this father. But oh, look how he is standing here. His face is beaming with joy. We don't recognize him anymore from how he was there after he received the message, lowering his shoulders, turning pale. And here, his eyes full of delight. He has seen the power of Christ. Do you think that Christ is not able to help you? What is your need? What is your impossibility? What is the death in your life? You feel your death in sin? Well, I have to preach the word to you tonight from John 5, verse 25, where it says, "Death shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear shall live." So there's a divine power in His word to bring life to your heart. Spiritual life, the tender trust in Christ. Have we mentioned Ephesians 2? People were dead in sins. God raised us up with Christ. That's His work. So what happens here, He takes the hand of this girl and He is talking to her and He's raising her from the dead. Then that's an illustration of what God is doing in a spiritual way to sinners, bringing life to them while they are dead in sin. You might say, "But I'm too dead. It's too long." Well, this is not the only illustration. This is not the only situation. This young girl, she just died. People would be fast in this hot climate to bury, but that did not yet happen. So, but remember, the son of the widow of Nain, they were going to the graveyard, then they met Christ, and He brought life in the situation of death. Or remember Lazarus, where his sister said, "Well, he smells already. Been there now for days in the grave. This is impossible. We cannot open the grave." But He called, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came. So would you say that you are too deep in sin, in impossibility? No, that is not true. Don't deny that there is power in Christ to set you free out of your corruption and depravity and sin by His amazing grace, His amazing love, by His Spirit, by His Word. You say, "But I prayed for it, but I do not experience a change." So did you fall at His feet? Just stay there. Stay at His feet. Don't move. Don't leave that place. It's the best place to be, at the feet of Christ. And I tell you, I proclaim you, I preach you for sure. He will not turn you away. He will not cast you out. And you will receive what He has promised in His word. You knock at the door and you will experience that He will open the door. That is His word, and God does not lie. And you will have fellowship with Him. And you will rejoice in His salvation. So Peter are standing there, and James and John. This is not the only situation that Christ took those three disciples. He took them also to the Mount of Transfiguration. There they saw His glory. Here they see His power over death. But He would also take them to the Garden of Gethsemane. There they saw His surrender, His willingness to die. "Not my will be done, but Thy will." A willing Savior with all the power over death and now in glory. What else or what more would you need? He has the power, and He is hearing your voice. Do you believe? Fear not. Believe only. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that Thou would work faith in our hearts. Bless Thy word, that we will embrace it with arms of faith, with the arms of our heart, that we may know Christ. Lord, we will be astonished. There's so much more power in Him than we thought there was. Jairus, he came to Him to be helped. that his daughter would heal, but he received much more. Lord, that's true of all thy children. They discover more and more in thee. Lord, we pray thou would bless thy word so that we may know thee and surrender to thee in our need, in our impossibility, in our addiction, slavery of sin, death. It's just one word, death in sin. But thou art making dead sinners alive. Talita kumi, daughter, arise. Lord, that we may hear this voice, that we may arise out of the grave of sin. Lord, help us in our daily things, also this new week. Keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads. Lord, if we struggle with disease, that thou would heal us. Oh Lord, if we feel the disease of sin, that thou would heal us. If we feel that we are dead in sin, that we may experience thy power to bring life to our souls. And Lord, thou art so good and so worthy to receive the honor, glory, and praise. Oh Lord, and nothing is sweeter than to lay at thy feet, to be humble before thee, and to look up. Oh, like the woman we heard about this morning, and she told him the cause why she came, that we may pour out our hearts for all those years of struggle, all those years of failing to help ourselves, all those years of being an outsider, and then to pour it out, and then to witness that thou hast healed us. Lord, we pray that we may be witnesses in this world where so many are in darkness, that our life will be a testimony of a powerful Savior. Lord, keep Satan from us and keep us from sin and help us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.